You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, February 2nd, episode 3875, brought to you today by Worm Flooring, and it's Groundhog Day! God, that movie is in my head forever. Good morning, horse people.
Well, Justin Long is going to return today with a new app called the Equine Emergency Vet Care Guide. We're going to talk to him about that, designed to help horse owners decide when to call the vet. I love this app as a horse husband. It's perfect for me. And our horse husband of the month is Steve, and he's going to come on and talk about being a new horse husband, I think only a couple of months. His wife is an auditor, Molly. And then we have some other random horse talk and some positives and negatives to end the show. In the post-show, Jamie, I want to talk to you about this topic that came up here on the local Ocala Barn Help page about should teen barn help be paid or not? And it started a war on there. So I just thought we'd talk about that and how things have changed when it comes to being a volunteer working student. I think that's completely different than it was 30 years ago. So I want to talk about that a little bit in the post show. But first, we have a bunch of things, little things here. The world's upside down, Jamie. It's just upside down.
How so, Glenn?
Well, Nashville has 8 days without power because of an ice storm. Nashville, right? Nashville is considered the South. We had 2 feet of snow in North Carolina over the weekend. Yes, they did get hammered in the Carolinas over the weekend, as they were expecting to. But on the coast, they had up to 2 feet. They've never seen 2 feet ever in their lifetimes. It was 20 degrees. It was 19 degrees yesterday morning and 20 degrees this morning in Ocala. And Anchorage, Alaska, where our friend Emily lives, is 26 degrees. It's warmer in Anchorage than it is in Ocala. Now, you laugh about that, and it's all very funny because it has been the coldest since we moved here. I think it's like the coldest in 40 years. The bad part about that is the citrus crops. This cold extended all the way down to the southern part of the state. They said that this is going to be the worst citrus crop. One, because the trees are dying of disease, but two, because of this cold kills the fruit, since 1930. So orange, if you like orange juice, your prices are going up the rest of this year. It's just bad for all kinds of citrus that we still grow here in Florida. So we joke about it, you know, being cold and, you know, it's a first world problem for Florida, but it is actually a real problem because of the citrus crops. And then the little town that we go shopping in, the closest little town to us is Dunellen, Florida. And it's about 25 minutes out of Ocala. And that's where we go do our shopping and all of that stuff. So we wake up yesterday morning to Dunellen hitting the national news. Why? There's been this battle in Dunellen because right in the middle of town, there's a train that goes through, train tracks. Well, they've been piling for years the old train timbers, you know, the ones that go under the ties, the old railroad ties that are covered in creosote. They cover those in creosote, and they always have for train railroad ties. Well, they've been stacking up the old ones there for years to the point where it's like 30 feet high pile, and it goes for a length of a football field. It's a lot of creosote-soaked ties. And they've been fighting recently about how to get rid of those ties, and nobody could agree and blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't have that problem anymore because there was a huge fire yesterday morning that burned that entire pile of ties.
Oh, that can't smell good.
Well, and it's also very bad for you. So now, you know, the town's up in arms. It took them hours to put it out because basically it's oil, right? Creosote's basically oil. Mm-hmm. And that was laden. Those ties were, you know, fused with it for years. So they just burned. And it was a big fire. They kept it from, there was a hotel. The only hotel in Dunellen is right across the railroad tracks from where the fire was. And they kept it from, they evacuated the hotel, but they didn't get any other buildings, thankfully. But they fought it.
Did somebody
set
it? Was it arson?
Don't know. Now, of course, the conspiracy theorists are out on the local Facebook pages saying that the railroad burned them because they didn't want to pay to get rid of them. And, you know, also there's a large homeless population right in the woods there. So it was 19 degrees that night. Who knows if they had a fire going? I don't know. It's all speculation right now. But, of course, the conspiracy people are out. And the other thing that they're Basically every federal agency with initials is in town right now.
Wow.
You know, the EPA and all of them trying to figure out what to do, because you have to remember, right going through there, we have all the beautiful springs and we have the one of the cleanest rivers in Florida that goes right through that town where everybody
you
goes.
Used to.
Yeah, we'll find out. So that's what we woke up to. It was crazy. But that's it. Hit national news yesterday. And then Groundhog Day this morning. 6 more weeks of winter, people.
So I kind of appreciate this. And you know why? Because that damn groundhog is always wrong.
And that is true, actually. Since 1887, his predictions have only been correct 39% of the time.
Oh, see?
So there we are. You're absolutely right. That means winter's going to be short. You know, probably another couple of weeks and it's going to be 80 degrees out in Florida.
Oh my gosh. It's supposed to be 60 today here in Oklahoma, and we still have a ton of snow on the ground. We have that, we're at that point in the storm where we had 10 inches and it's been frozen all week. So it became the, you know, sheet of ice on top of the 10 inches of snow. And now it's starting to melt. It got up to like 38 yesterday, and it's starting to have like where the sheets come off the roof. You know, I'm like, yes. I was leading in the cribber yesterday, yes. And like the entire sheet of snow just fell off the roof as I was leading him in. It scared the bejesus out of me and did not faze him a bit. So I was like, oh, point for you.
he solves all his mental anguish cribbing. Maybe we should take up cribbing. Maybe that.
I know, right? He's fine.
And then one other piece of news in the Hollywood world is Catherine O'Hara passed away. You know, of course, we both love. There's one show you and I agreed on, and that was Schitt's Creek. So
yeah, I love Schitt's Creek.
Or of course, Home Alone and Best of Show, and you know, Beetlejuice, and all of those that she was in. 71 years old, she passed away.
This one really hurt, and so in honor of Catherine O'Hara, we watched. You know, not much of an honor, but we watched Best in Show last night and just celebrated her and just the contribution that she had to females in comedy. Oh, he's seen it. He loves it.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if he liked that show.
Yeah. And now we'll see like some of those people in other movies. And he's like, hey, that's the guy with the hound dog. Like the guy in Best in Show that has the bloodhound is also the six-fingered man in Princess Bride. So put all that together, it's a whole lot.
Well, rest in peace, Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, I love her. Moira Rose.
Oh, that's from Moira. All right, Daily Winnie time.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Hope it lasts all year long. Happy birthday, friends.
Well, we have one auditor birthday today, Nyla Ripka. Happy birthday to you. We hope you have a fantastic day.
Okay, my Daily Winnie's going to be a little bit of a journey. I'm going to try to keep it together. Keep it together. So my Daily Winnie goes to my son, Lucas Jennings, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't think I've ever been prouder in my entire life. Ooh. Hold on. I'm going to keep it together. Okay. So Saturday night, he had his winter semi-formal. Okay. So this is where like all the middle schoolers go to school, and I always volunteer. And so Chad and I volunteer, because what happens is they have a table and all the middle schoolers have to check in their phones, right? So they have to bring their phones up to the table. So I see every child who comes in, they bring their phone, they have to fill out a little sticky note, put it on the phone. They can come back and take it for photos, but they have to bring it right back. So it's
really?
Like, no phones. Yeah, it's awesome. So that's my job at every school dance. I volunteer to be the phone person. So, and we get to sit in there and get to watch everything. And it's really, really, you know, I'm a stalker of my child, but he loves it. He loves it when I come. He's one of those kids that still likes his parents. I don't know why. So
give it 2 years.
Yeah, I know it'll change, but I'm still celebrating the fact that he likes me. So they have in his school, they have what they call the transitions program, and they keep, kids that have special education needs, I mean, all the way up till they're 21 years old. And they do just a lot of education and lifestyle and teaching these kids to be self-sufficient. So this girl comes over and she has her phone in her hand. And I asked her, I said, yeah, just put your name down. And she really struggled with doing it. I was like, okay, transition student, let me help. So I got the post-it out and helped her write her name and all that and stuff. And she goes up and she's so dressed up and she's got makeup on and she's in this nice dress with like this little fur shawl and just looks just awesome. So she goes out and they have a, like, they do like a dinner and then a dance. Like they teach them basically like table manners and it's really, really cool. So the dance part starts and, you know, they're pink and we've got, you know, Lady Gaga and all these fast songs. And then a slow song starts. And of course, as a mom, I'm like, oh, my kid's going to dance with the girl. Like I got to get. And so I'm like the stalker mom who takes my phone over and I walk over to the dance floor and I'm going to take some pictures of my son slow dancing with the girl.
Everybody else is
like,
not allowed to have their cameras.
Oh, God, no. And no other parents would dare. But I'm like, I got this. And I'm like all the other parents that are volunteers. I'm like, I'll get a picture of your kid and your kid and your kid. Like, I'm going to do this for all of us. So I walk over and I see Lucas is slow dancing with a girl. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I walk over. He's dancing with the transitions girl.
Oh.
As a seventh grader, that to me, like, what a heart. Like, this is the time of life where kids are the hardest on each other. And this girl, apparently another girl said, will you dance with her? Will somebody dance with her? And Lucas was like, I will. And he went over and started dance. And I mean, the slow, you know, the arms on the shoulders and then the arms on the hips, like straight out 2 feet away. That's how everybody was doing that middle school dancing, you know, the like slide side to side. And he's got his arms out. And she is so excited. And they're dancing. And I'm telling you, I started crying. Like crying, Glenn, because my whole thing with this kid is like, just don't want to raise an asshole. And he has been so great. And he's very sweet, obviously. So I start ugly crying. Like, I mean, I can't keep it together. So I have to leave
the building.
I have to leave the building because how horrifying to embarrass your child. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. He's dancing with her and watching you crying your eyeballs out.
And I'm crying my eyeballs out. So I'm like, I don't care. Give him a car. I give him $1 million. Whatever he wants, I will get him because he's done things like anyway. So I walk out and I have to go to the bathroom and like get it together. So I come back to the table and I sit down and Chad's there. And I told him what happened. I was like, oh my God, he's dancing with this sweet girl. I help with the cell phone. And he comes out. I come over and I sit down and there's another mom at the table. And she said that the second the song was over, that girl ran up to the table, picked up her phone and sent a voice text to her mother, said, you know, text mom, and then started talking and was like, I danced with a boy. I danced with a boy, mom. I danced with a boy. Oh, I had to leave again. I started crying again. Like, I can't handle this emotion. And like, oh my God, it was just I couldn't be a prouder mom of what a human I'm raising. And she was so excited. And she just had, and after the dance was over, she came up to get her cell phone. And I said, did you have a good time? She's like, that was the best time ever. I had such a good time. I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying again. Like, I'm scared. Anyway, that was my story. And I'm just so incredibly proud of my son and how sweet he is. And anyway, Daily Winnie.
Good job, the kid. Mom. I do have to ask you, are middle dances like they used to be where all the boys are sitting around the edges and not dancing with anybody and all the girls are in dancing
well,
by themselves?
I sat next to another mom who was like super fun and she and I both talked. We were like, this is the best middle school dance we've ever been to.
Because isn't it usually the case where everybody's sitting around, all the boys around the edges goofing off?
It's weird. Well, like as soon as the slow dance happened, everybody ran off the dance floor.
Yeah, there
were like three slow songs and everybody just split, right? But when the dances are going, these kids like all dance. Like, I mean, they're in groups of girls and groups of boys and they have a dinner, right? And so they sit down and you're like, there's a table of boys, table of boys, table of girls, table of girls. Yeah. Like they don't sit together and talk to each other. However, they all dance in the fast songs and they jump and all that. But then the slow song happens and crickets on the dance floor.
And in another 2 years, it'll be none of the boys sitting with the boys, and they're all be completely
be
different.
Like, turn, keep the lights on, yeah, in here.
Exactly. The only songs they want is slow dances at that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, good job, Mom. Well, that is a proud moment.
It was, I'm just very proud. Very, yay, proud. I do want to, let's do the worm ad. And then before we get to our first guest, I have to ask a question of the listeners and all horse people all over the world. I have a question.
Well, one of the things that's going to happen over the winter is your trailer roofs, whether it's RVs or horse trailers, are going to get all kinds of ice and snow up there on the roof. And then it's going to cause problems and you're going to end up with a leak. Happens all the time after the winter, especially in the harsh climates, where you get leaks from the, just is the way it works with RVs and horse trailers. Well, Worm Flooring now does trailer roofs. If you have a leaky roof, you're coming in the springtime and you have a leaky roof, then I would just recommend, instead of trying to get up there to fix it yourself, just get it fixed so you don't have to worry about it again. They have a revolutionary silicone-based coating that creates a barrier against heat and wet. And it stops leaks before they start. It's this one coating across the entire top of the roof, so you don't have to worry about it again, and it reflects 90% of the UV rays, so it keeps the trailer cooler, or your RV cooler for that matter. So ditch the duct tapes and buckets, invest in long-lasting peace of mind. It's $7.50 per square foot, and it's called Seal and Chill. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. Look for Seal and Chill at wormflooring.com.
Okay, so I think I have found a, well, I found a buyer for the cribber. Okay.
No, he doesn't even have a name anymore. It's just the cribber. No,
I took his name away. He's called the cribber because I gave him a great name. And now I'm like, I'm going to save that name. So we just call him the cribber. So the cribber, I found a buyer for him and they're arranging shipping and getting all that done. Good. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, he's the most beautiful horse I've ever owned. I mean, athletic and kind and gentle and no spook and just all the things, like he's perfect except for this one thing that I can't take. So anyway, I've been very honest and everything and told everybody everything, and I think I have a buyer for him, or I do. They're just arranging shipping, so that means I am very, very casually horse shopping. Okay, now I actually almost took the day off because I was going to fly to go see a horse today. But somebody was ahead of me to go look at it and they bought it, or it's sale pending. So I didn't, this would have been something really special. Do I know what I want? Nope, I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't know. I just want to have fun riding a horse. And I do have Ace, but my friend Zoe is leasing him so I can have a friend to ride with at my house. So she half leases Ace. So I only get to ride him half the week. And then all the rest is just, you know, your thoroughbred. So I just want to keep going with the more training. And keeping my skills up. So I'm very casually horse shopping. Now, this is insane. Horse prices. What the hell? What is going on with horse prices? I found a quarter horse thoroughbred cross, like a grade quarter horse thoroughbred cross in Texas. It's like 16 hands, just solid dark bay. And I'm seeing the videos, and because they post the videos, nobody posts the prices, they post the videos. And it's just a horse, like the videos are 10 seconds, which I'm not going to go see a horse for a 10 second video, but it was like 5 10-second videos. I want to see transitions. I want to see all the things. And there was this girl loping him around in her field, and he was jumping over like a barrel with like a PVC pipe, kind of like a half cross rail. And the horse is loping around and she's a mess of a rider and the horse, whatever. But I was like, that horse is kind of like not a great mover, but he has maybe potential to be fun. And so I messaged her. I'm like, hey, I really like him. What are you asking for him? Do you want to guess?
It's a quarter horse, right?
Just a normal backyard grade, not even registered quarter horse gelding with a below average movement.
$2,500.
See, that's what you would think. That's what
I'm just
you
going
would
off
think,
really bad then. Ads.
Well, it's to me, I was like, generously, this is a $3,500 horse because it does have some training, not a lot of training, but it's got some training. She wants $30,000.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's not what I was expecting.
$30,000. Do you know that the basic average horse price right now is at $30,000? Like $30,000 for nothing. Like for horses that I've been picking up for $1,500. People are asking $20,000 to $30,000 right now. What happened here? I feel like I need to sell everything. You know, but like, what happened? Did Jennifer have this problem, or is this?
Oh yeah, that's why she ended up with a 3-year-old instead of. She really wanted a 9 or 10, fully broke, ready to ride on the trails tomorrow horse. But in the gated world, they were $20,000 to $25,000.
Well, the horse, the non-gated world has caught up. I'm just like, just normal horses. Just like I found this one horse up in St. Louis, and it's like I was watching it, and it is like borderline runaway over the fences. I'm watching all the jumping videos, and I'm like, you know, some things you can fix. Like this horse at least is game. I was like, you know, I can just get him stronger and get him to sit on his hind end a little bit. Maybe give him some hock injections, get him tweaked up so he'll slow down over the fences. $35,000, Glenn. $35,000.
See, I kind of blame you. I read this article the other day. After you brought it up on the show a week or two ago about the horse prices, I started searching around. I found this article. It was one of the magazines. I can't remember which one. But they basically said it's a perfect storm of issues. And one of them's your fault.
What? Yeah. What did I do?
Well, you kept encouraging people not to breed. So apparently breeding has been reduced considerably. That's one thing. Soaring inflation for the care of horses, hay and all that stuff. So the cost of owning a horse has gone way up. I don't know about you, but hay down here in Florida just skyrocketed. Every time Jennifer goes to get hay, it's $3 or $4 more a bale.
I'm to the point where I see a horse for sale and it's in Florida. I just click past.
It's just, and then post-pandemic, you know, but you're right. I would have thought that things would have dropped a bit because people can't afford to care for them after, so they're not buying as many. Apparently not true.
You guys, when did normalizing $30,000, like, and again, like, I have a husband that has...
You could turn it around, though, and go, well, for the people who trained it, they're finally getting their money's worth.
Sure. Sure. Okay. I'm a trainer.
I'm just taking the other side in court here.
There are horses that are worth $30,000, and they have extensive show records, and they've educated horse riding trails. Other kids. No, I was like, I said, I'm sorry, that is over. That's twice my budget. And she was like, well, we are willing to negotiate if you're willing to come up a little bit. And I'm like, that's okay. Thank you. Good luck. Like, it's crazy.
And you know what?
She was messaging me last night, begging me. And I'm like, and of course I look at her, you know, Facebook page, and it's her like doing the kissy face and peace sign. You know, I'm like, you're 12 years old. You cannot sell horses for $30,000. It's just not fair. But point is, there are horses worth that. And in the world that I come from, you know, every event horse that has competed was $12,000. If it's competed, and then it goes up, you know, the next level, if it's competing at this level, it's 15. And then the prelim horses are 20. And you know, there was always like a stair step. Now it's $20,000. If the horse has gone to a beginner novice event, minimum 20,000. So not even looking at event horses, just riding horses, ones that haven't competed, don't have a ton of education, but they have a rider on them. They're $20,000 to $40,000, and don't even get me started on horses with actual training and education. They're $100,000, $60,000 to $80,000 for a horse that's gone to a horse show. I feel guilty asking that. Sorry. Like, and again, like this is my husband works for the airlines. Like I have money to spend. I wouldn't spend that on a horse. You must be crazy. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, how are these people doing this? How much debt do all these people have?
I think Jennifer's had horses her whole life and trained horses and, you know, send them up the line for eventing and stuff. I think this gated horse she bought as a 3-year-old was more expensive than anything she ever bought before.
Wow. Wow. And yeah, it is.
It's just, I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah, I just,
I started the show. I think it explains it all. I started the show with the world is upside down right now.
Yes. Yes.
That's
so,
the theme of today's show.
If you see a horse that looks super fun, great. Send it to me. If it's under $1 million.
And
okay.
Crib. The one, can't crib. No crib.
It's cannot
no,
crib. No, no. The one I was going to go look at, and it was an Aiken. And I can't believe that they got sold because Aiken's under like 9 feet of snow.
I know.
But it was a 16 or 17 year old PRE Spanish horse that was, you know, on the downside of his career, a year or two left in dressage. They already have to do some joint maintenance and stuff, but he was highly educated, like flying changes, canter half pass, pirouettes, like all of that. And I was like, oh, that horse looks so fun to ride. Nope. Sold. And I was like, dang it. That one I could have afforded because he's 16, like with arthritis in his ankles, you know, but like I'm okay with that. Like I'll treat that and take care of him and stuff, but no, I've got to find a 20 year old horse to be able to afford it. crazy. Ugh. Anyway, sorry, send your complaints to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com because I know some of you are going to complain and some of you are going to agree with me. So we'll just see. Whatever. I don't care.
Well, Jamie, last Wednesday in the post show, we had one of our auditors on. Her name was Molly. And today we have her horse husband on. Hey, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
Steve's here for our horse husband of the month report. I'm going to cut there, actually. Steve, are you talking directly into the phone, not on a Bluetooth or speaker?
I'm on a Bluetooth headset.
Can you come off of it to see if it's better?
Yep.
Yeah, it sounded good, and then that was a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. 1 second.
I mean, you sound amazing.
All right.
Your voice is incredible.
I'm actually on just the phone now.
That's better. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to start over in 3, 2, 1. Well, Jamie, remember last Wednesday in the post show, we had Auditor Molly on for Meet the Auditor segment?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember how she said she had a new horse husband and that he was so lazy and unhelpful, he wouldn't go outside to help her in the cold? Do you remember that?
I don't think she put it like that, but you go right ahead and you frame it however you want.
We have horse husband Steve here with us today. Hey, Steve.
You might have the wrong person. That doesn't sound like my wife.
That's what I'm saying. He just likes to cause trouble.
Although I will say that she's being truthful about that one particular day last week. I actually said, I think I'm going to stay. It's pretty cool.
See, I wasn't lying then. That was all true. I heard that.
I felt guilty.
Steve, how long have you been married to your lovely wife?
We have been married almost 4 months now.
Oh, wow. So it is brand new. You're in your honeymoon phase.
Yep, October 10 of last year.
And how long were you together before that?
Oh, gosh. Just a little bit over 2 years.
Okay. So how did you two meet? We didn't ask her that question.
Uh-oh. All right, here's where I start to... we actually met on Tinder, of all places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a really funny thing that, you know, it's I would really say it's kind of younger thing than what we both are. And I was single and one of my coworkers had said, hey, we're just going to make you a Tinder profile. We're going to get you dating.
So and it's like in a sitcom where the coworker
really
does it for you.
Right. And really didn't do much of it. And I got curious and logged in one night, like I think it was a Friday night. And literally within 5 minutes, I think we were chatting and that was pretty much it.
She was your first.
Let me guess. It's Friday night. It's about 10:30, 11 o'clock. You've had a couple beers and you're like, you know what? I'm going to go check out that Tinder thing.
You know, I'm a single guy. I can check this out. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You know,
exactly,
brother.
What it was.
It's amazing that it was that quick, though. You hear about people on Tinder for like a year and don't meet anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have to say I'm very thankful because that just seems like probably not the best expenditure of my time.
Did you go check? Oh, you did. I know you went and checked her out in social media. Didn't the horses in her social media pictures give you a clue to maybe second think it?
Well, you know what? It's funny that we have a ton of common friends and somehow have never met, as far as we know, face to face. You know, she went to high school with some close friends of mine that, yeah.
He didn't know about horses. I mean, he didn't know enough to know not to date horse chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I saw the photos and stuff, but yeah, I had no idea what I was getting into.
At what point in the dating life did you realize that this is your second fiddle, basically?
Oh no, quickly. But you know, I realized, you know, I like horsepower and stuff, but the horsepower I like, you don't have to feed every day. It's not a living thing generally. So
I realized really quick that
there's a serious, you know, horses probably like to stay alive. They, you know, it's funny because when she does visit them, I'll always, and I'm not there or something, I'll always ask, so how's Gio? And, you know, it's just really interesting how she is really tied into his personality. And I never really realized that they're just like everybody else. They have personalities and stuff, and it's really interesting. I just know nothing about it.
So your GTO doesn't have the same personality traits as her horse?
Oh gosh, no. No.
I assumed you meant cars when you were talking horsepower.
Yes. Yeah, and it is funny because the couple of dressage events I've been to with her is not too far apart from, you know, kind of grassroots or local motorsports events. It's a tied-in community that, you know, wants to compete with each other, but is happy to be there with each other. You know what I mean? Seems like a very similar community.
I've been to a few car shows with my brother, who had a 1950s hot rod and would go to the car shows. I got to tell you, a car show for an entire day in the sunshine in Florida is about as boring as dressage.
Yeah, and you can't even, you know, watch the Olympics and have Snoop Dogg commentate on
it. No, pretty much the cars just sit there all day and people walk around and look at them. That's
I'm not much of a car show guy. We're usually at tracks and like Indy 500 and places like that.
Do you race
adrenaline?
Yeah. Do you race cars?
No, I did years ago, but not a lot of like side by side stuff. I did a lot of like time attack, which is, you know, like you're on the track by yourself at a certain time trying to beat a time.
Okay.
So, yeah, not a lot of wheel-to-wheel stuff. I did work for the IndyCar Series for 3 years in PR, so I've been around it.
That's cool.
The drivers a lot. Yeah.
Do you know what those are called, Glenn?
What?
Those are called hot guy jobs. Oh, yeah.
No. The job I had was the guy that takes the hot guys and girls and gets them out. You know what I mean?
He's the hot guy handler.
Yeah. He's the hot guy handler. Gotcha. Okay. Everybody has to have a role. I get it.
Why do you think I do radio, Steve?
Yeah. Well, I'm in broadcasting as well, but in cameras, I stay way on the other side of them for sure.
Now, yeah, right. She said you're what in production? Is it TV, movies? What do you do?
Right now, well, I started in television news, but now what I do is I head up a group and we run the live streaming for a D3 college here in Michigan.
Ah, okay.
So we do football and basketball mostly. Well, we do pretty much all the sports, but it's kind of the main ones, quote unquote, that we do, you know, full on multicam with announcers and graphics and, you know, data and all that kind of stuff.
And you're
my niece just went to college for that. Like, that was her major. So, I mean, that's a serious gig.
Well, you think about it, most schools now, that's the way. Most schools don't have the NCAA or ESPN knocking on our door all the time because we're D3. Although we are, we do have generally teams that are in the running for a championship. It's D3. It's just the Final Four reminds me every year because, you know, you watch D1 and it's like they get a new floor for each round.
Yeah.
You know, we're lucky if we get sandwiches, you know.
Are you the guy in front of the great big mixer board? Because I'm standing here in front of my tiny mixer board and I'm just picturing you in front of the great big mixer board.
Sometimes, yeah. Not at the very moment, but so what I'm doing is pretty much, you know, our hope is that, you know, it's all students operating and doing everything.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's kind of a oversee kind of a, I wouldn't say a teacher because I'm contracted as a consultant to the college, but
yeah, director,
teaching
really.
Them how to do it. And, you know, most of my students, you know, they're coming to operate a camera and don't even know what white balance is or things like that. So, you know, it can be a challenge, but we've been really fortunate. And after COVID, we got updated so much on our equipment that, you know, I can't imagine that bigger schools. I know Michigan State even doesn't have what we have, so we're very fortunate.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, it must be fun for you dealing with new kids all the time, too. I mean, you like anything else, you're going to have good years and bad years, I assume. It's like...
Well, it is always fun, and, you know, you always have those two or three that are really into it, and so you see them a little bit more and that sort of thing. But overall, my students like to remind me that I'm older than their parents.
No. That's fun.
Yeah.
Let's get back to horses. We are a horse show. Yep. Everybody gets mad at me when I don't talk about horses for a while. Okay. So you ridden yet? Do you help with the horses? What's your role?
Well, so I haven't ridden yet. That's an interesting, I should ask that maybe. I can't pick up after it until I get to ride it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I get to do
some of the fun stuff before I get to do the crappy stuff.
I have a generally bad back, so maybe I shouldn't push that one quickly.
Depends on the horse, I think.
But yeah, and so no, I mean, it's haven't ridden yet, and you know, I've really just gotten the basics of what I'm going to have to be learning to do. So I'm going to have to get on that. Maybe we'll wait till the spring, but you know.
She did tell us that she was hoping to train you as her groom for the dressage shows.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's carrying heavy buckets of water when it's super hot and constantly learning that I'm walking in the wrong place because the horse doesn't know where I am. And
that's it.
Know,
that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what I'm learning.
See, the hot guy jobs. That's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's the part of the key, right? Because you don't want to walk in the wrong place that because you become not hot looking person once you're kicked by a horse, I would imagine.
I remember, Steve, going to one of the first shows. My wife was an eventer, but yeah, that has dressage, right? I remember going to one of the first shows with her thoroughbred. Her thoroughbreds always were a little bit of a handful. And I remember going, and then the first time that she said, I have to go to the bathroom, hands me the reins and walks away as I'm holding the thoroughbred at this show with all that going on. I have no idea what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to do, what I'm allowed to let it do, what I'm not allowed to let it do, nor how to do any of that. And I remember that was one of the most terrifying things I ever did as a horse person, was holding that horse the first time. So you got to look forward to that coming
look
up.
Look how far you've come.
I'd have it covered for about 10 seconds because I'd say, well, what do you want to do now? And then, you know, stand there.
Yeah. And hope the horse doesn't freak out and disappear because you don't want to be that loose horse and it's your fault at the show. You know?
Oh, my gosh. No, but he does like to try to eat my hand. So I think I could keep him occupied for a couple of minutes.
Until your hand was gone.
Yeah.
That's funny. So I'm going to ask you two questions. What's the worst part of being a horse husband and what's the best part of being a horse husband?
Oh, man.
That's going to tie into something later in the show, right, Jamie? So
yes. Okay.
You know, I have to say that it's really kind of, I really just enjoy seeing, and maybe in this, hopefully this answers the best part of it question, like just how passionate she is about it. And, you know, she's like me, the guy who wants to talk about IndyCar racing when everyone's doing fantasy football league or something. You know, we'll be in the middle of something and she'll be watching a YouTube video on her phone or talking about or preparing, you know, grains or stuff to take over to the barn. And it's really great to see how dedicated and how much she loves it. And it just kind of draws me in, you know.
Well, okay, but you didn't answer
the negative part. I would say it also kind of leads into her dedication part, but it does take a lot of time and she's pretty darn busy in her day. So, you know, I'd say It's funny. I can, as I'm answering this question, I can hear my dad's logic saying, well, then if she's so busy and it takes so much time, why don't you go learn to do it? Because my answer was going to be that it takes a lot of her time, but that just plays into me helping.
Right? Yeah. And you got your dad's voice in your head.
So hopefully that answers the question. It's time consuming is negative, but the positive is just to see, you know, her enjoying it and how much she loves it.
I think too, especially for newlyweds, which I'll still count you, yeah. For newlyweds, that is one, I think that's the most common horse husband, not complaint, but observation, is how time consuming it is and how much they're at the barn.
Right.
I think that's probably the most common one in the early years, and then you get your own hobby and you don't care as much. But
early on in our relationship, we were talking about it, and she said something to the effect of, you know, it's not cheap either. But I mean, as far as that's concerned, to me, that doesn't factor into it, because that's something that she's, wanted to do and. You know, started to do years and years and years ago, her whole life, basically. So, you know, that to me just isn't, as long as we can do it, it's just not an option.
Although, Jamie might agree with me on this, having a husband that's into motorized stuff. Having a even lower level race car probably is as expensive as having a horse. So that's one hobby you could pick that's probably just as expensive with new motors and tires and all of that the time.
Yeah, I could find a couple of vehicles that would raise that price quite a bit.
I bet. Yeah. Well, Steve, we're going to let you get back to work. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And good luck. We'll
Thanks
check in with
me.
You for a couple years and in a couple years and see if you have the same answers to those two questions.
All right. Well, I'll probably have my Bluetooth on then, because I'll be out in the barn at that point.
Grooming.
Covered in mud at that point. I'll be totally covered in mud and I'll bet you that I will have not gotten in my car or one of my fun car and done something because it will be so busy at the barn.
That's right. For years, that car will just sit there.
the one that I have now is sitting here and barely got driven this past summer because we were so into getting an RV and getting ready for horse shows and things like that, that it just becomes different priority at this point.
Oh, you wait till she wants to put a hay bale in that fancy sports car of yours.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a lot of hay bales and we'd be, you know, we'd be sitting on the hay bale probably, but yeah. Anyway,
thanks so much,
Steve. It was enjoyable.
All right, take care.
Every rider knows that hoof comfort is the foundation of a great ride. That's why horse people consistently trust Cavallo hoof boots. Celebrating 20 years of performance, Cavallo isn't just a trend. They're the original boot designed for both rugged trail riding and therapeutic support. They're incredibly easy to put on, require no special trims, and provide the traction and cushioning that your horse needs to move freely across the gravel, mud, pavement. The level of trust in Cavallo is unmatched. They've been used by everyone from the late Queen Elizabeth II to horses ridden by Beyonce. How are those two in the same sentence, Glenn? I don't know. Cavallo. They bring
queens
everybody
in
together.
Their own way.
Whether you're transitioning a horse to barefoot, managing a rehab case, or just looking for extra protection over metal shoes, Cavallo boots stay on through all conditions. They're the practical horse-first investment in your animal's long-term soundness. Visit cavallo.inc.com. Cavallo-Inc.com for more information and sizing charts too. Well, apparently it's Horse Husband Day here on Horses in the Morning, and I am so pleased to welcome an extraordinary horse husband, Justin Long. He is the husband of Dr. Erica Latcher from Spring Hill Equine. He is the host of Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth and on the podcast. And then, oh my God, overachiever much, he just started the Equine Emergency Vet Care app that is available. Now, a brief overview before we bring him on. This is an app that it's awesome, you guys. So just pay attention while he's talking about it, because this thing is awesome. And hi, Justin.
Hi, Jamie.
Thank you so much for coming on to talk to us about this. This had to be just a labor of love.
It is. It's been a educational experience. I've never built an app before. I'm going to probably stick to writing books. It's way easier, but hopefully this will change the world in a way that the books can't. So that's my goal.
So tell everybody about the Equine Emergency Vet Care app.
Okay, so we created this app, the Equine Emergency Vet Care Guide, as a way for horse owners to look through the list of symptoms that their horse is having and determine if this is an emergency that needs to be seen right now, or if they can wait till regular business hours to call their vet and make an appointment, or if it's just something that needs to be monitored. And the reason we did this is because we see so many emergencies on day two or day three or day four when it's really hard to resolve the problem. Especially with something like a colic that gets seen on day one is generally fairly easy to treat. It's straightforward. But I think a lot of people are kind of hoping that the horse will fix itself, because a lot of times it does, and hoping to avoid that vet bill. And so they wait until day two to see how the horse is doing. Mm-hmm. And when you get to day two, it is so much harder to fix what's wrong, because the body has had lots of time to do bad things. And it gets more expensive. And I don't know how many people we've seen that were trying to avoid that initial $500 or $600 emergency fee and ended up spending $3,000 or $4,000. And a lot of them lose their horse over it. And yeah. So our goal is to help people make educated, vet guided decisions on what is an emergency and what needs to be seen today, so that the horses will get the treatment they need in a timely fashion. The horse owners will save money. The veterinarian will get to work on something that they can fix, and everybody wins. That's the goal.
Now, it is. Now, I want to say too that it is not just for emergent. Like, to me, what I got out of the app was it's not just an emergency. It is an educational experience. Like, say, okay, you get all these buttons up and you're like, my horse is having abdominal pain or colic signs. You click on that. And then there's a video of Dr. Latcher who shows you how to do all of the kind of basic examinations and get the information that you would need to call the vet if you had to call the vet, or if everything is fine, then everything's fine. But, you know, just a basic video of TPR and just taking all of the skin pinch tests and the gums and taking a temperature and all of that. It's just a very educational thing, as well as my horse is dying. What do I do? So it's kind of runs the gamut from beginning to end, as far as like, this is what my horse is presenting with. It's lame. And you click that button and it tells you, it takes you through kind of some of those things. My horse's eye is weird. And you click on that icon and it takes you through like a whole eye thing. So it's very thorough, I thought, very thorough. And like I said, there's hidden in there are some educational videos that is just Dr. Latcher simply sitting in there saying, hey, this is how you do it. Because as horse owners, I feel like, you know, some of us, like I went to equine management school, I learned all that stuff, but normal horse owners, I mean, I've had so many horse owners that have kept their horses here and they don't know how to take a heart rate. They don't know how to get a pulse. They don't know how to check for digital pulse. They don't know, you know, so many different things that go by the wayside when you have horses. And then this app is incredibly educational.
When you think about all the things that a horse owner has to learn, like it's 17 college degrees, and you're dead by the time you get it all figured out, if you ever get there. You know, you got to learn the riding and the management and the housing and transporting and the medicine. Like there's a million things you got to learn. So we tried to make that easy by shooting a lot of easy to digest shot for horse owners, you know, speaking in that language, not speaking doctor to doctor, which no one can understand, but helping people understand, you know, this is what this looks like. This is what that looks like. You know, we did a video on what neurobehavior looks like, because everybody is convinced that their horse has EPM, but spoiler alert, it probably doesn't. And we can show you why. And there are things that you can look for, you know. There, and, you know, the same with eyes. Eyes are always an emergency, because you measure eye degradement in minutes and hours rather than days. So what's okay-ish but not looking great this morning is terrible this afternoon. And tomorrow, you've already missed the bus on that. And if you, but if you don't know that, like the damage is done, you learn the hard way after your horse lost his eye. And that's a terrible way to learn these lessons. So we're trying to provide resources to help people fill in those knowledge gaps that they haven't got to yet.
I like how simple it is, Jamie. It's just simple. Like if I pick fever, it's just a bunch of categories on your app, and I pick fever, and then it tells me the different temperatures, and I pick the middle one, it says make an appointment. You know, if I pick the top one, it says that it's an emergency call. I wouldn't have known that as a horse husband. So this is great for horse husbands too when the wives are gone, because I can just pick very simply, and I in a language I understand as a horse husband.
You bet. Yes. I'll tell you who this is great for is the person that is farm sitting your horses while you're out of town. Because as we all know, traveling is a nightmare because you've got to leave somebody in charge of all your critters.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So they've got you can pick it. You go to the main page and you can pick a category: colic, lameness, eyes, odd behavior that would be clicked on every day in my house, fever, poison, foaling, respiratory injuries, skin allergies, and then miscellaneous, which is like literally how to pull a shoe and what happens if my horse's sheath is swollen or there's swelling under jaws or what to do during a snake bite. It's so thorough. And again, so many of us have had to rely on, you know, sometimes it's a Sunday and we can't get a hold of our veterinarian, or a lot of people don't have veterinarians mm-hmm. that will come out to their house. I mean, I hardly get anybody to come to my house, and I live in Oklahoma surrounded by hospitals. But a lot of us will go and post on Horse Vet Corner on Facebook, and that's a wonderful resource if they answer your question in a timely manner, you know,
there's nobody on the other end of that's obligated to help you out in a crisis.
Exactly. And you'll post some on there and be like, and I'll read people be like, they'll post on there and then they'll be like, update, horse died, you know, like because you didn't call your veterinarian or have a resource to make some decisions.
A lot of our listeners have told us they're 2-3 hours from a vet. So this app, I would think for them would be really helpful.
If you need to pre-plan something like that, knowing that, you know, now I need to arrange a trailer. If I don't have one, like I need to work on a ride now because we are against the clock. Like that changes everything.
Yeah. Well, I congratulate you on doing this. What else would you like people to know about it? Because fortunately, we're going to be talking to you about this for quite some time. Because you're kind of part of the Horse Radio Network family. And again, we don't advertise things that we don't like and we don't believe in.
Especially apps.
And we don't do apps. It's rare that we'll talk about an app. So, I mean, this is a fantastic piece of information. And, I mean, think about how much an emergency call is for your horse. And then you've got this, you know, $29.99 app. And $29.99 app, and then you're going to have all these answers in your pocket.
Right. And the very first time you use it, it pays for itself, whether you get to the vet a day earlier than you would have, or if you don't go when you don't need to, right?
Right.
No matter what, it pays for itself the first time, and then you're just saving money from there on out. But we're already putting the first update together. We released this to the patron group for our podcast, Straight from the Horse Doctor's Mouth, and got a lot of great feedback. And we're adding a couple more categories. We're going to have a category just for swelling, because there's a whole lot of different things that get swollen on horses, and nobody's sure what to do with that. We're adding a search bar so that you can just type in whatever symptom that your horse has want to dig through the list of things. Trying to make it as easy as possible, because also when you need to use this app, you're probably not at your very best, right? You're going to be under some stress and duress. So we're trying to make it even more user-friendly and add more categories that cover the gamut on what everybody needs.
Okay, here's a suggestion. You have like regular horse owner app, and then you have a sidebar that you hit the button, and this is called the freak out section. I am freaking out. Fix it. Tell me what to do.
Yeah, that's where we need a 1-900 number where, yes, you can just call a vet and freak out for $9 a minute and then call your vet once you've got the answers.
Exactly. That's good. So there you go. See his second revenue stream.
The only thing that Jamie and I talked about with this that we would love to see added, and it's more on the strictly educational side, is a videos tab where you have the videos easier to get, see a list of them somehow, mm-hmm, so that you can get to the videos when you just want to watch videos, you know?
Right.
When you're not...
Well, we're adding a resources page,
okay,
and that is going to be part of it.
Good, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah,
because this is an international app, it's also available in Canada and the UK and Australia. Not everybody uses the same drugs, so we're adding a resource page that kind of goes into different drug names a little bit so that everybody's on the same page, and they have different diseases in different places too, so... But yeah, we're adding a lot of video references on that resource page as well.
It's going to be like Wikipedia of emergency vet care.
I hope so.
It's not a one and done. You're constantly improving it, and that's what we like to see. So, Justin, thank you so much for believing in us. We believe in you, and it's going to be a great partnership.
Well, thank you guys for helping make the world a better place for horses. I think, you know, the more all of us put energy and effort into this, the better the horses end up in the end of it.
And there is a website. It's equineemergencyappapp.com, equineemergencyappp.com. You can find it. It's iOS and Android, right?
Yes, it is on both.
All right, so it's Equine Emergency Vet Care Guide on those two. So just search in the store on your phone, and you'll find it there. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Hey.
Thank you guys so much.
Hey, can we trade? Because your wife came out and looked at my pony, and I owe her money.
No, it cost you money.
I'm thinking we do an even trade for her vet visit for one of these apps. I'm thinking we do it even.
I am a wheeler and dealer. We can make some stuff happen.
Thanks,
hey,
Justin.
Hey, Glenn, I have to remind you don't own the company anymore, so you can't do that anymore.
Because let me tell you, her vet bill was a lot more than this app cost. So
there is that.
Yeah.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
So, Jamie, yesterday I noticed a couple of people, basically Facebook was full of people who were dealing with the weather and things breaking and the usual things that happen when it's extreme weather like it is right now, even here in Florida. I can't tell you how many posts on the Ocala horse page of people with broken pipes and things like that. So I put a post up on the auditor group asking, I said, look, we normally are positive here, but today we're going to allow you to vent about anything you want that's broken.
And I saw that.
We had 104 comments.
And I saw that too. And I thought, to your point, I wanted to provide a counterpoint. So what I want to do is I want you to pick five things that are bad, and I'm going to follow them up with happy things and positive things, because it's Monday. Nobody hears what you hear. Everybody complain all the time. So we're going to point and counterpoint. Okay. So you go, and then I'm going to turn it around.
Okay. let me scroll. Oh, I saw this one yesterday. It was actually my favorite bad thing that people posted. The tailgate on my borrowed truck popped open, and I watched my round bale drop out onto the road and unroll itself.
Oh,
counterpoint that one.
That's my nightmare. That's my nightmare.
Counterpoint that one, will you? I think I started with the best one, though. Can you imagine cleaning that up?
I mean, oh, God. You just keep driving. You wouldn't clean that. You just keep driving.
But it's all over the road. It's going to cause accidents.
Not your problem. So I would like to counterpoint that with something that is happening also in this cold weather, is what Taylor said. And she says, cleaning stalls is so much easier with frozen poop. And she's right.
Unless it's outside in the dirt, then you can't get it up till spring.
We said cleaning stalls, and this is counterpoint. You don't get to counterpoint.
I'm countering
my
counterpoint.
The counterpoint.
Redirect,
down.
Your Honor. I want to redirect. I wanted to be a lawyer when I was growing up, so this is fun.
It is so much easier to clean a stall with frozen poo.
I agree.
Because yes. It just stays right there. And then, so what I do is I clean my stalls. Like I pick them out afterwards. The horses stay in for an hour or two, and I pick them up, put all the stuff in the corner, right? And I pick it up, and I shake the shavings out, and then I throw it against the end of the corner, and it's like, bam, 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 bam! Because it's like little rocks, like throwing rocks against your wall. They're so frozen. Okay, move on. Your turn.
I can't get any heat to come out of the foot vent of in my car. It works everywhere else. I've just noticed it with these really cold temperatures. I'm hoping it's not blocked by a mouse nest.
Oh, that would never happen. So counterpoint is Susan says in this weather, her typically lazy horse is going more like in show mode and is so much fun to ride. Dude, those lazy horses in the winter. It's like they have a new gear. I get it, Susan. I get it. Yes. Forward is good.
When clearing off the snow of my windshield, it shattered in the below zero temps here in Connecticut. Please tell me whoever this is, you didn't pour hot water on it. Because you see those videos all the time. People pour hot water on it and it shatters. But I don't think any of our listeners would do that. I think she was scraping it and it just shattered.
Oh, that sucks. Okay, my counterpoint sounds silly. That's like a first world problem. Yeah. Christy says, which is what I said when I posted this, is no bugs. There's no bugs. And the best part of winter is there's no bugs. There's no snakes that are going to scare you. Nothing is going to jump out and scare you. There's no mosquitoes biting. There's no flies around your horse's eyes. And she also says that her horses really love rolling in the snow. I get it. They do. I don't know why, but they do.
I'm agreeing a little bit with this because even here in Florida, it's been so cold that we haven't seen. Remember that poisonous snake I was telling you about that was in the corner of our property? We haven't seen it lately. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. See? Yeah. Counterpoint.
Okay. Let's see a counter this one. I have a lame horse, a lame sheep, and one of our dogs has double ear infections. And it's not one of yours. That's the amazing part. And I slept like crap last night.
So. Oh, no. Well, Laurie says it is so much easier to keep the house clean, and my grungy looking sheepdog Frosty is snowy white and clean. That's right, because there's snow. Just a little water when they come in, it's fine.
And she said, I can't imagine the hair in the house of that dog.
She said, and of course, no bugs.
And in Florida, guess who we have coming tomorrow? The Terminix guy, because we still have bugs. Okay.
Because you have bugs.
Yes. The final one on my list is something that, I didn't do Jennifer and I's. Let me do that one first, okay? So Jennifer and I, we have both trucks that needed to go into the garage to the tune of about $2,000. Our microwave died and our toaster died. I didn't even know toasters could die, but ours died. The microwave started sounding like the little thing that goes around was going bad. Well, nope, the little thing that wasn't the problem. It was the thing that actually heats the food was going bad. So we had to get a new microwave, new toaster, and $2,000 in truck repairs. But that's just my personal one, which started this whole thread. So now I'll do the listener one. Our TV died. But it's my husband's excuse to get a bigger one. And you know what? I don't feel so bad about that because I was at Walmart the other day and you can get like a 55-inch TV for $20 now.
It's so crazy. Cheap. They're basically free. They're giving away TVs.
It was less than $200 for this like 50-inch high-def TV. It's like, you know how much we used to pay for those? So one thing's come down in price, TVs.
Suzanne says that the magic in her world right now is there is zero traffic. Right on, sister. No traffic is good. No, but you probably shouldn't be driving. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. That if nobody else is driving, you shouldn't be driving either. However, celebrate the positives. No traffic. Yeah, as a former traffic reporter, I wholesale appreciate that.
Yeah, probably was the only time there was no traffic in Atlanta was last week. It was probably the only time.
Yep, that's probably it.
All right, we're going to end the show. Thank you for joining us today. Auditors, hang on. But we're going to end the show with the positive news story that I read, and I'm sure you saw. But in January, the University of California, Davis announced a historic $120 million gift from Joan and Sanford Weil, the Weil Family Foundation, marking the largest donation ever made to veterinary medicine worldwide.
Nice.
Yeah, so they made this to the veterinary college, and you want to know why? The gift was personal. This goes to show you treat everybody that brings their dog, their horse, their cat in, you treat them with respect. The gift was deeply personal. They were inspired by a compassionate care of their beloved dog, Angel, that had received at the university during the dog's battle with lymphoma. So because they treated the dog so nicely, they gave him $120 million. So it just goes to show that, you know, treat everybody nicely. It's just the way it
should be. Treat people with $120 million nicer.
That's a good news story, though, right?
I love it. That's awesome.
So that's great. And well done. Well done, the University of California, Davis. That's
UC
it for
Davis,
today,
baby.
Everybody. Take care. We'll see you all on Wednesday.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld.